It's the Dr. Bill Deagle Show, presented by NutraMedical.com. Call live 818-818-6401. It's the Dr. Bill Deagle Show, presented by NutraMedical.com. Call live 818-818-6401. It's the Dr. Bill Deagle Show, presented by NutraMedical.com. Call live 818-818-6401.
buckaroos. It's last call. We are shopping the last mall. Always got a sweetheart, so special.
See, that is what I call the devil, the dark side. And people say, oh, that doesn't happen. I said, are you kidding? This morning, you know what? I got a notice that my 2017 tax wasn't filed. The IRS, okay? Now, I'm very diligent to pay every dang cent the government wants from my hide and my corporation. So the morons last year, you know what they did? They sent a message that my daughter, who has Down syndrome, 26 and a half, doesn't live with us, isn't dependent on us, and she's married. So we had to pay a fine to these idiots because you can't communicate with the IRS. And we're still fighting with them. So it's an example of the dark side persecuting someone like me who's a conservative Christian who wants to do on conservative contrition radio and find simple solutions to problems both on the physical health level and in spiritual level. And by the way, serving God's real simple. We have to approach God like a little child. You cannot take away sin. Only sin can be done against the Creator God. And only God can take away sin once you actually serve him as a son or daughter. It's that simple. It's not complicated. And God has visions for the future for us. And there's nicer people than me that are going to be separated from God for eternity. I don't want that. I don't want to also see our nation suffer physical destruction because it has not repented. It thinks good works take away evil, and that's not true. The Masons teach that. So, Ken, I'd like you to give your visions because, honestly, I'm inspired by them. I really think it's almost like having Ezekiel and Isaiah back here on the stage telling us visions of what God's purposes are for mankind. And you see, this goes beyond eschatology. What I see happening, and I wrote this in my book back in 20 years ago when I released with the Prophecy Club, and it was more than 20 years ago when I received it. Everybody's itching ears are looking for a sign. They want a temple in the Middle East and in Jerusalem. They wanted this, they wanted that. There is no sign but the sign of Jonah, as you mentioned in the break before the show, which is Jesus dying and going on the cross. That's the only sign, isn't there? There's not going to be a sign saying, hey, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. You know, right now Jared Kushner's pushing for a peace accord in the Middle East, and probably a minority of Jews and a majority of evil jellyfish Christians are pushing with lots of money to build a temple, which is an abomination that'll desolate. And looking for a sign isn't what's going to solve this, is it? Please continue.
Well, no. There's no sign, as you mentioned, but the sign of Jonah. And, of course, that was a sign of, metaphorically speaking, of Jonah being swallowed by fish. But it prefigured Jesus dying. So as Jesus dies, that's the sign, because he died so that he could annul our sins, do away with the law that condemns us, totally did away with it.
Right.
For those of us that are excited and expectantly waiting for his return, there's no condemnation. There's no judgment day for believers. I mean, that's just an amazing statement, but there's no judgment day for me.
No.
There's no judgment for anybody that's under the blood covenant. All of our sins are been repudiated.
They're gone. They're gone. They don't even exist. In fact, all our sins, even sins we haven't yet done, are already forgiven in advance before we even do them, right?
That's correct. It doesn't give us kind of like the Catholics' indulgences to go out and sin, but God knows the predicament we're in falling into the flesh and becoming human, and he understands this ball and chain thing we have called our body.
Right.
I'm all for people being healthy, but you know what? I'm all for people preparing to leave of these bodies, because
right.
God has a much better body for us. So we can do everything we can do to try to stay healthy, but in the flesh. But the most important health is in our spirit.
Yeah.
That we keep our spirit undefiled, and that we work to develop the possession of our souls, which right. is the advancing of our spirit into our psyche, our mind. That's what this life's all about.
Right.
That's why there's times when God doesn't deliver us from circumstances. There's times when, even in the physical sense, we may be ailing, and he doesn't bring about a speedy healing because he's trying to teach us how to
right.
lift up our heart before his throne. So we live in a fallen world. These things that you're going through with the technical aspects of this broadcast are because of the God of this world, who's the prince of the power of the air, and he can do those kinds of things. And so we're in a fallen world that God uses to bring about our healing if we look to the things that are not seen, because the things that are seen are perishing, they're passing away. We can't look to politics to fix the world. We can't look to a man to lead us. We have to find our relationship with the Lord in such a way that we are getting answers to our prayers because we go before his throne. You know, you had mentioned something about the peace plan and this temple, you know, that people think is a sign of the return of Jesus. They want this built because they want to authenticate, prove their faith. And so the Jews want to have a third temple, actually be the fifth temple they try to build. And in a way, I agree with you about the fact that it'll be an abomination that goes right on top of the other abominations that have been historically
right.
That have historically happened throughout time.
Right.
Because the building of another temple is can only really occur if there's compromises made to bring about the possibility of this thing being built. And the thing of it is that people don't realize, the church does not realize, mm-hmm. that God doesn't make deals.
Right.
You can say, well, he made a deal with Abraham. Well, yeah, I guess you could call that a deal. But there was none left, and God knew it. But when you see Lucifer coming to Jesus and offering him the kingdoms of this world, Jesus said, no, get behind me. There's songs that are sung, oh, Lord, there is none like you. And I don't like those lyrics, because there's only God. There's no comparison. You can't even put him in a category of comparison with anything. There is nothing but God. That's it. That's all there is. And so God doesn't make deals so that he can have his temple built on earth. He doesn't make compromises. And for there to be a temple, first of all, they don't even know where the thing is to be built in the first place.
Right.
And secondly, they're going to force it most likely to be on the Temple Mount, because after all, that's where the whole world believes the other two temples were
right.
was up by the Dome of the Rock. Of course, those two temples would have been built before the Dome of the Rock was about the 5th or 6th century A.D. The other temples were built prior to that. But they want to have the next temple, or the third, they call it, built up there by the Dome of the Rock. Well, let's talk about that just for a minute.
Right.
Because everybody's interested in this temple issue. And, of course, we've talked about this before on the program, but let's just go back in history.
Right.
When the first temple was built by Solomon, it had to be specifically designed with certain specifications and measurements. And it was. And because they did the right job, God visited them with his glory. Now, the glory of the Lord that's spoken of attending the temple was called the Shekinah glory. It was like a cloud. You could actually see it. There was a glory that came. And when the Hebrews decided to merge their religion with Ishtar and Baal and all of these other pagan gods, and of course the moon god was predominantly the one that really upset God. God said, "That's enough. I'm not gonna keep that thought,
Ken. We're going to break. I'm going to keep on phone because we're having major troubles with connecting with the studio. So
okay.
we'll just stay on phone, okay? Stay right there. We'll be back in a couple minutes." So, Tomas, can I talk to you for a second?
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Red Deer Velvet DR is an amazing new product with a patent to preserve 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones, same as fetal life, where you don't age at all. The state of fetal life allows the 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones produced by the placenta to be supportive of the regeneration of tissues and organs, with maximum apoptosis changing the tissue and organ structure of a fetus. That's why if fetal surgery is performed, there is no scar. Taking 2 to 3 capsules twice a day with oncomycin, myco D2, provides an amazing support for regeneration of any tissue and organ in the body, and even advanced stem cell therapy support treatment. Do get NutraMedical's Red Deer Velvet DR from Dr. Bill Deagle at NutraMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well and stay young with NutraMedical. Lumen Photon Therapy, infrared light, far and near infrared, is extremely important for pain control, stimulation of nitric oxide, improved perfusion, and stem cell activation and reduction of cytokines. Dr. Bill uses it for pain control, for regeneration techniques, for organ regeneration, and for stimulation of your stem cell activity. This amazing Lumen Photon Therapy this year will probably have an additional device with frequency therapy during the on phase of the lights. To obtain a Lumen Photon machine, contact Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871. He'll prescribe it with the provided nutraceuticals to help with your regeneration, healing, and pain control. Nothing like the Lumen Photon Therapy for easy therapy for your eyes, your pain, your joints, regeneration of organs, detoxification of the body. Get a Lumen Photon machine from Dr. Bill Deagle, NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well with NutraMedical. The Sonic Life Machine is one of the most amazing therapies that Dr. Bill provides. It is the best sine wave exercise machine on the planet, doing whole body vibration, opening up the muscle to reduce insulin resistance, improve perfusion, release stem cell therapies throughout the body, and epigenetically stimulate the body to release DNA activated. The epigenetic therapy with the sine wave curve of frequencies given for atomic resonance by Linus Pauling for minerals and amino acids stimulates the production of messenger RNA to correct structural protein enzyme deficiency for almost every illness. There's nothing like the sine wave therapy for improving body healing for exercise, but also the epigenetic treatments Dr. Bill can provide can help neutralize frequencies for disease states and illness. Get a Sonic Life machine through Dr. Bill Deagle at NutraMedical.com. Contact us at NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871, or go to the website NutraMedical and give us a contact. Dr. Bill is available to help you get well with NutraMedical.
Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
The amazing Ken Klein coming back. Ken, I want you to continue your discussion because, you know, we're blessed when we hear the visions that God has given you to give to the people. And people have to understand, it says in the Bible, my people perish for lack of vision, not lack of eschatology. They think that figuring out is like working out the, the tumblers and the tumbler code of a lock. When really, it says in 2 Peter 2:10, no scripture is a private interpretation, so you can't throw one over your shoulder. But the fact is, it's visions that are going to unveil God's vision for us, right? Please continue.
Well, as I was saying, the Israelites made compromises and merged their religion with pagan religions, and then after 430 years, God said, that's enough, I'm going to destroy my own temple. And when he did, of course, it was a great judgment, came over the land, and when they finally did rebuild the second temple, they found that the glory of the Lord left the first temple and went to the Mount of Olivet, because it was designating where Jesus would die. Right. And so that's where the real glory would go. So when they came back and built the second temple after the captivity in Babylon, there was no glory. And the word for no glory is Ichabod. There's just no glory.
You're talking about the Temple of Jeroboam in 530, whatever it is, B.C., right?
Yeah. And so the elders wept because the glory of the Lord had departed and did not return.
Right.
And so the Jews today, they want to build a third temple hoping that the glory of God, thinking the glory of God, will return. But the glory of God is something that was tangible. You could see it. But the glory of God is something that God does not share with anybody, and he certainly isn't going to do it now. He's only going to give it to those people that have become his temple and are under the blood covenant. The Holy Spirit of God is the glory of God.
Right.
And he does not give his Spirit without certain conditions being met. One is that we have to bow our knee and repent and receive Jesus as the Messiah, as the Lord of glory.
Right.
And the gospel is the gospel of glory.
Right.
It's all about the glory of God. And now we could talk and say, well, glory this, glory that. But the glory of God is something that's to be experienced.
Right.
It's something that comes to you and it's real and it's internal. It's not external. In fact, the real sign of this was in the day of Pentecost when they all spoke in tongues. This was the sign of the glory of God coming to somebody, and it burst forth in languages that the people that were speaking them didn't even understand. This was some kind of celestial breakout of the glory of God. So people can talk all about the glory this, the glory that. We can all. It becomes a cliche. It just becomes a word. But the real issue today for God's people, for anybody that wants to receive the glory of God, which the gospel is all about, it's not a theological term, it's a reality that comes to the new temple, which is us.
Right.
So this building of an external temple that whoever wants to build it, the Rabbi Richman there of the Temple Mount movement there in Jerusalem, or the Temple Mount Faith, all these people that want to build a temple and all the Christians that want, this isn't the sign. The sign is mentioned in Book of Acts, Joel, and when they said, what is all this stuff? These people look like they're drunk. But no, he said, no, this is that which Joel spoke of. That was the sign of the glory of God. So none of these external things mean anything. The question is, are you living in the glory of God? Because you have to receive it every single day. It's like the manna that you pick up, they picked up from the ground, and they had to go collect it. We have to die daily to ourselves, because we have this conundrum as people that live are trying to live out our faith, and that is, we have a carnal body and we have a spiritual body. And the spiritual body is the inner man. This is our spirit that God wants to enlarge every day by his spirit, so that the Holy Spirit becomes ghosted in us. This ghosting is what God's trying to perfect in us and trying to enlarge in us. So that's why this, from glory to glory, he's changing me. So yesterday's glory doesn't work for today. I have to get a new glory. It's the same glory, but I have to accumulate it through my faith in God that has to be operative. And if it's not operative, then you're not growing.
Right.
You're not expanding in the glory of God. And the glory of God is not something God makes deals with about. When you go, one day I'd like to go to Jerusalem and go to the Wailing Wall and rebuke everybody and go, what? You guys have been praying here for 300 years. I guess God can't hear your prayers because you've been praying for this and that, and nothing's happened.
Well, first off, they're on the wall. They're not on a wall. Even the Roman historian said not a stone would be on top of another. The real temple, there's no such thing. That Wailing Wall has nothing to do with the temple. I mean, it's the wall of the fortress of Antonius.
That's right.
And so the idea that somehow you can go to this Wailing Wall and stick your prayers in the chinks and the cracks, and somehow God will hear, is an obscenity. And actually, this to me is an assault against God. It's also an assault to think that you have to rebuild a temple and do animal sacrifices where Jesus made the complete sacrifice of God incarnate, dying on the cross and taking the sin of mankind forever into a place where the previous judgments of God were withheld.
And you know, all they'd have to do is go back and read, and you mentioned Ezekiel. Ezekiel was given, when he lived in captivity in Babylon, the exact plans for the temple God wanted to build after, because Solomon's temple was destroyed, was laid in ruins. And God came to Ezekiel and said, look, I'm going to give you these plans, man. And they were like four chapters in the book of Ezekiel explaining the exact measurements of what God wanted to do. And he was going to give these plans to these carried off Hebrews. And God says to Ezekiel, he said, now, if they repent, give them the plans. And that was conditional. Repent of what? And the Lord said, well, I don't like these wicked kings that made all these compromises with Baal and the moon god. They brought them into my temple, and they even had them in far-off places up in Galilee. And I hate it. I hate these compromises that they made. So if they dig up the bodies of these dead kings that are right next to where my temple was and get them out of there and put them on the Mountain of Disgrace, which is the southern half of the Mount of Olivet, well, then fine, give them the plans. Well, guess what? They didn't dig up those bodies of those kings, and so God didn't give them the plans. What they had to do was use the plans of the Solomon's temple. That's what they had to do. They just rebuilt Solomon's temple. But that wasn't the plans that God had for the Jews and the Hebrews. He had a much more grand plan. Well, now, that was called the law of the house. Well, now, these foolish Jews want to go build a temple up there by the Dome of the Rock. If you go inside the Dome of the Rock, it says God has no son. This is a shrine of Allah. God doesn't make deals with Allah.
Exactly. Let me insert an important comment. I stood in my kitchen in Enfield, Nova Scotia, with a pastor from Ontario. And I gave him a word. Literally, I had a vision while we're standing there in the kitchen that I was going to meet a man. I even told him the name, Nicolas Saliba. And I had never heard this guy before. And he said, I want you to come to Jerusalem with me. So literally the next week, we have totally unprepared, flew to Jerusalem. We went to the Mount of Olives. We stayed at Tom Hess's house of prayer. And God told us in the middle of the night to go to Jerusalem and come back to the city through a gate, okay? And when we came through that gate, a man came up to me, and he almost shoved a knife into me and said, I want bakshish, bakshish. It was Friday morning. And the guy came up to me, and he prevented this guy from stabbing me, literally. I gave some bakshish, some shekels, who was Muslim. And I said, what's your name? He said, my name is Nicolas Saliba. He was a stonemason for the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and for the Russian Orthodox Church. And he'd been there for thousands of years, his family, being stonemasons for Jerusalem. And what I realized is that, and he showed us things that are going on there. I realized when I went to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre This is not where Jesus died. This is not at all. But the problem is, you see, they've created all this eschatology and all these symbology, and the Catholic Church and all the layers of Judaism, and including right now, for example, Jared Kushner is pushing, along with all the high-level, you know, apostate Jews, this idea, along with all the apostate Christians, that they need to build a temple to bring back the glory of God. And it's not going to happen. In fact, they think somehow this is going to save not only the state of Israel, but the Israeli people and Christians, and God is going to sanctify the earth by us rebuilding a temple. And they don't understand. God wants us individually to repent before him, and he wants our nation to repent, which means good works, which we've done, don't take away the bad works we've done. And people don't understand that. They don't realize that you have to crawl through that little gate on your knees toward God as a child and say, God, take me and make me a son or daughter again. And God's the only one who can actually do that. We can't make ourselves better or sinless or whatever. Only God can. And people don't get that, do they?
No, and this is interesting because the people that are pushing for this in the Christian world have been influenced by an eschatology that was formatted by the Catholics in the Council of Trent. It was introduced. It's called futurism. And it's basically a miscalculation, a misunderstanding of the prophet Daniel 9:26 and 9:27.
Right.
I have a book on that. It's on its way. It might be another year till it's completed. That dissembles this terrible heresy that has infected the whole Christian world, and the whole Christian world has been misled by this eschatology that talks about a tribulation that would precede the return of Jesus. And there would be a catching away of God's people called the rapture. And not that there won't be some kind of catching away, but it's not the way it's been purported by these theologians, which are basically egghead Christians. They're not spiritual Christians. They're academic Christians, which is different than being spiritual. So basically, Kushner has been influenced, and his father has been influenced by evangelical believers that purport and promote this eschatology, this kind of false doctrine of futurism that says there'll have to be a peace plan, that says he will make a covenant with the many for 7 years. But the whole teaching of Daniel's ninth chapter has to do with the judgment of the Jews. It's not really dealing with anything beyond the time of the destruction of the temple in 70. And Jesus said, when you see this destruction, then shall come a great tribulation. When the temple's destroyed, then shall come a tribulation such as the world has never seen. And what happened there in 70, which was 3.5 years into the Roman invasion, and it lasted 7 years, the Jews were destroyed. Almost 2 million were murdered.
Oh, yeah, even all over the hills of Judea, there were hundreds of thousands of crosses where they crucified them.
Well, and many of them fled, and the rest went into what is called the wilderness of the Gentiles for thousands of years.
Right.
So this was a tribulation that began 2,000 years ago. We're in the midst of the tribulation. There's no future tribulation that's going to start everything. It's been on now since the time of the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. 3 years later, the Jews were finally conquered by the Romans at Masada. It's exactly the way the scriptures explain it. But the people that twisted the word and made it something future, way off in the future, have created a terrible disease called dispensationalism that's affected the whole of Christendom.
I think what you're saying here is the great falling away didn't happen just recently. It's a falling away that's been going on for a very long time. And it involves both Judaism and so-called Christianity. And this falling away has created a cloud of intellectual confusion that prevents the spirit from understanding the visions of God.
Yeah, that's well said. And if you look at the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews was written to Jews that were drifting away from the Lord. So there's always been a falling away. There's always been this
right.
tendency to slip and and fall backwards, a backsliding, it's called. It's not something that's just germane to this age, this end of what we call this age,
exactly.
The last days. It's something in the nature of man that where he doesn't understand. The flesh is like a ball and chain that will pull you backwards.
Exactly. Keep that thought. We'll be right back. And more from Ken.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Red Deer Velvet DR is an amazing new product with a patent to preserve 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones, same as fetal life, where you don't age at all. The state of fetal life allows the 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones produced by the placenta to be supportive of the regeneration of tissues and organs, with maximum apoptosis changing the tissue and organ structure of a fetus. That's why if fetal surgery is performed, there is no scar. Taking 2 to 3 capsules twice a day with oncomycin, Myco D2, provides an amazing support for regeneration of any tissue and organ in the body, and even advanced stem cell therapy support treatment. Do get NutriMedical's Red Deer Velvet DR from Dr. Bill Deagle at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well and stay young with NutriMedical. Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutriMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871. At NutriMedical.com, we have the most amazing drinks with the best mouthfeel, highest quality bionutrient exposure to your body to heal and regenerate, and the most powerful persistence of nutrients to heal your body dramatically. We have Ageless, which makes you age less, which repairs your DNA, extends your telomeres, etc. We have Life Support that detoxes phase 2 detox pathways, glucuronidation, sulfation, and methylation pathway support. We have Glycemics that blocks the carbohydrate absorption, helps with diabetes or weight loss, and as well helps with people that are trying to build up muscle using things like our special formulas from Dr. Wolf called Mega Muscles between meals along with Sports Energy Light. We have the amazing NutriComplete, the most complete red and greens drink in the world, with the best mouthfeel and flavor. You can often mix it too with Vitamin Mineral Mix, which is our fruit flavored mix power of vitamin minerals. Stay well with NutriMedical every day.
I remember when I lost my mind.
There was something so pleasant about that place. And welcome back. We have Ken back, and of course, we keep him on the phone because we're having serious what I call devilish tech problems that are interfering with our normal connection between CRN Talk. Even phone connecting to Ken. And I think the real issue is that it says in the Bible that my people perish for lack of not knowledge, not eschatology, not a formula, but for lack of vision. And what you provide is vision of, well, God's which is what I call the spiritual manna or hidden food for the soul of mankind, the spirit of mankind, that needs to know where God's going to be. Because, see, God's only real concern, ultimately, is not whether your body's healed. He wants to not have the nation suffer. But his real concern is, who's going to be with me for eternity? And eternity doesn't just start at the moment of death. Eternity starts the day you hear and do Shema, God's will. That's the first moment, not the moment of death, the moment of life, eternal life, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. There's only God. That really is it.
Right.
And yet we're so distracted in this world and by our own, the cryings of and the cravings of our human body.
Well, I notice that when I take care of people, because I'm a doctor for almost 50 years now, some of the most spiritual times I've seen people when they're dying of cancer or heart disease or heart failure or whatever, when they know they're actually soon about to expire, and they're closer to God when they know they're about to die than when they're living, and they're full and they're having sex and traveling and have lots of money and da-da-da-da and eating great meals, when they're anorectic and they're dying of cancer or some other horrifying illness, they're almost at the point now where they can separate from the physical world and the body and start just concentrating on the spiritual side of their relationship with the Creator. So this body and this world is a great distraction. It's a great pulling away from the ultimate infinite relationship with God, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, our body is part of the outer court of the temple.
Right.
The inner court is our soul, and the Holy of Holies is our spirit. And
right.
So we're the temple of God. And one of the things that it says in Revelation 11 concerning the temple is that the angel is telling John, measure the temple and the altar and the people who worship in it, but do not measure the outer court. Well, the Ezekiel temple that we talked about earlier had extensive measurements of the outer court. But now, with Jesus coming on the scene, and he's redefining what the temple is, which is us, we have a Holy of Holies, we have an inner court, and we have an outer court. The outer court is perishing. It's not to be measured. You know, we constantly God doesn't look at the strength in a man's legs. I mean, telling us something about our human condition, and we've never really got into the full reality of why we're in this human form, which is another story that goes back to the war in the heavens that set up the whole need and reason for human body lattices that the Satan's trying to destroy through abortion and all kinds of means, where this whole thing about what sex a person is satanic. It's a twistedness to try to abrogate and hinder God's people from being redeemed. It all goes back to a spiritual reality, all of that stuff. But we have on this planet, in whom we are, this identity crisis. Who am I? What am I? Is that the kind of person I want to be? Is that the person I am? Who am I? And that's what's going on in everybody's hearts. They don't know who they are. We're in a state of spiritual amnesia here. The Bible calls it, in many metaphoric terms, the land of forgetfulness. We're living in a land which is an expanded dimensionality of the land of Nod, which is, you know, was outside the garden. We're living in wilderness, and in this wilderness, there's emptiness. There's nothing that can fill us in this wilderness, in this emptiness, in this vanity,
right,
in this great void, except the glory of God. That's the only thing that will satisfy us, and it's an inward reality. It's not an outward reality. Try as you will to find its satisfaction in the world outside, you'll find nothing but chaos. Because it's being trampled down by the Gentiles, and always has been trampled down by the Gentiles. But now it's becoming more and more obvious every day. If you do watch the news and you see the insanity that's explained on Fox, even CNN, of all the things going on, you just scratch your head.
We're heading toward annihilation on every level. We're heading toward geopolitical, spiritual, genetic. For example, even the United Nations now is pushing for one sex and 63 genders. We're pushing toward a borderless world with no borders. We're pushing to a world where male and female disappear. We're pushing to a world where they want to genetically create embryos and fetuses in artificial uteri. We're pushing toward a world where much of the human race is going to be eliminated one way or the other, and they want to put life extension technology and even download our images into a beast supercomputer. I mean, this is literally hell on earth, and people don't get it, that this is the exact what Satan wants, is to degrade the human race so we don't have our ultimate destiny to be with God for eternity, starting today. Not just when we die, starting today.
You know, men try to find life extensions and all kinds of ways to get beyond our mortality. But if you go back to the beginning, this place that people are trying to get to, this established Eden on Earth, this Nirvana,
right,
is impossible because God has placed flaming swords with angels around the Tree of Life, and there's no way back to that Tree of Life in any mechanism, in any technology. It's just futility. Now, it's amazing.
But even if you extended lifespan, let's say, to the time of Adam and Eve, which is a little under 1,000, 1,000 is still a fraction of eternity. It doesn't matter. The thing is, all that would happen is a slight increase in the amount of wisdom, as I call fractional years. For example, if you live 100 or 200, it's just a tinier fraction each day of that 200th year. So the fact is that I don't see the population getting more wise. In fact, if anything, I think our culture is becoming more and more self-centered, obscene, bizarre, and satanic. And, you know, now they even have people like Ray Kurzweil with downloading into a transhuman world. I mean, it's so bizarre, you got to say, this is suicidally destructive. It's a form of, you know, Satan-side. You know, it's not just killing us. It's really degrading the nature of what it is to be a human person, made in the image of the Most High God, to where we're literally like a statue to be shattered. It's obscene, isn't it?
Yes, and if anybody wants a sign, that's a sign. Because it's becoming more and more bizarre, more and more twisted, and because the time is short.
Well, look at these movies out now. There's one about Joker. I mean, they're saying how great it is. I'm thinking, this is pure, unadulterated evil. Now the violent crimes all over the country. We're talking about usually mentally ill young men who are completely lost it and are not only trying to kill themselves, but they want to kill other people while they die. And we see, I see people, young people, that even if they go to church, where they're hopeless. Hopelessness is because they have received words of signs that they should seek after rather than visions of what God wants them to become. They don't want to have God's vision, do they?
You know, it's interesting because when you look at the way the temple of God was described and articulated in the Old Testament, it was Solomon that built the Holy of Holies, which answers to our spiritual person. And when the nation of Israel was backsliding and embracing other pagan foreign gods, God speaks to Ezekiel, says, "Listen, I want you to come take a look through the wall in my in my temple. I want you to see what I see." And he looked in, and all they could see was almost like fat on the walls from something cooking. You couldn't even tell what was on the walls. It was so caked with the sins of the people that God says that they have destroyed the chamber of imagery. This ability to see things in the spirit was so corroded by sin because of compromises that had been made that that inner part of the temple could not be used properly. And we have a chamber of imagery within us, and yet it's so covered over with sin and heresy and things that block people from seeing visions It's appalling, and what you're describing and what I've seen in the churches today are akin to what happened with Aaron's sons that were given the responsibility for lighting the fire of the altar of incense in the temple.
Right.
And they went in there drunk, and they offered strange fire up before the Lord, and they were instantly killed. This is what's happening in the churches, the organized churches today. It's not worship according to the way God would be worshipped, you know, according to the way God would be approached. It's strange fire. It's entertainment. It's not the gospel that God brought to us. It's a strange fire. And we're very close to the destruction of this because it's almost worthless. It's like, you know, I went to a Bible study to meet some neighbors, and it was 45 minutes before they even started, and we just sat there. And what they talked about was making sandwiches for the poor and this building that they bought 20 years ago. I'm going, this isn't about Jesus. This is about nothing. The Bible says you've come to need milk and not meat. And so why do we need to keep going over these old things? But this place was like 2% milk. That's what's happening
right in
the Christian world. It's like not even milk. It's 2% milk. It's so watered down and so ineffective that people are kids today are hopeless because they're not getting the stuff that they need to have hope.
Yeah, exactly. And in other words, and here's where I see the hopelessness going. I see in bad decisions, for example, even with our president and others, bad decisions, for example, that are going to result in the church entering apostasy. For example, there's a dark alliance between the Catholic Church, which is completely apostate, and the apostate Christian Church, and even a thing called Chrislam, bridging Islam with Christianity. Oh, my God. And what people...
It's the same compromises that were going on thousands of years ago.
Right.
Still, the same pattern continues to repeat itself over and over again. It's nothing new under the sun. It's the same thing. That's why people have to have... quit putting their ministers up on pedestals. They're men just like you. You need to be the minister of God. You need to be the kings and the priests that Jesus talks about in the book of Peter. We need to hear from the Lord individually.
Right.
Not trust in organization, not trust even in somebody that may even know more scripture than you do. The question is, do you know Jesus personally?
But by knowing, we're talking about knowing in the spirit, not just knowing about him. I think that, I like to use a quote that I used many years ago, that the devil can quote scripture faster than the Baptist pastor. That doesn't mean the devil's saved. And
for sure. And
what people start grasping here, what God wants is he wants us, for example, when I was a little boy, 8 and a half, and before he sent me back from heaven, he said, now, you know, I want you to go back and I want you to witness to people and tell them the truth. You know, at the time of the end, you'll know and you'll tell my people. And he said, now, if you fall away, I will destroy you. And I said, I love you so much, God, I will go back. And he cried, and he said, because you've said this to take my name from the book of life, when you fall away, I will shake your ugly human carcass and I will make you a son again. And I realized that the only way to please God is to just do what God wants you to do. You can't earn a bunch of points and so God likes you, you know, or like a point system, like passing a test or a course or a multi-guest thing or a thesis. You have to just do what God wants. And he doesn't compromise. He doesn't say, well, you know, we got this part of the test right and that part wrong. He wants 100%. He doesn't want a tithe of us. He wants all of us, right?
That's right. And that's a daily issue.
Yeah.
That's not something...
It's a daily struggle.
It's a daily walk. We're going to get our feet dirty in this world because of the way we walk, because we'll make mistakes.
I got a little bit lower thing. I call it the daily crawl toward the glory of God. How's that? The daily crawl.
People argue about the stupidest thing. What day is the Sabbath? Like, it's today.
The Sabbath is every day. The Sabbath is relying on God, right? We have a day of the week, but it's every day is the Sabbath day in God.
Yeah, and it's every day hearing his voice.
Exactly.
Not in your heart.
The Sabbath is a relationship. Amazing. Thank you, Ken. You did an amazing job as always.
Most important because that was your theme.